Hello. Sorry, I was letting Jamie out when Dove turned the mic over. But I did hear what you said, Dove, about it's not easy to order the seven steps to awakening. And that's true. When you order the seven steps to awaken, it takes a bit of patience. It might even take up to a month to receive it. So that's just the way it is. Hold on one second. I just want to take a drink. Good water. What I have done this week is I've started an online journal. And the reason I'm putting my journal online is so that when I'm sharing during this period of time, I know sometimes it's easier to hear if you can also read. So I thought that it would just be easier. So I've started putting my journal online. And for those of you who would like the link, I'm going to give you, let's see if there's an, this is a different, it's the same blog that I have, but it's a slightly different format than the one I had before. So it's not going to be as easy for us to navigate, I don't think. I'll have to see if I can figure out an easy way to navigate. This is the link. The link is actually http://rda7stepsjournal.wordpress.com. However, if you just type in www.wordpress.com, I'm sorry. My mind isn't with me yet. If you just type in www.rda7, which is the digit 7, stepsjournal.wordpress.com, you'll get to my online journal. For those of you who are in the room, I've just posted a link which goes directly to the first journal entry we're going to look at today. We're going to be starting with journal entry number 10. We looked at 1 through 9 last week. And what I'd like to do before we get involved in looking at the quotes and looking at the journal entries is I'd like to just take a moment of silence. I think my mind was already trying to do that. It was trying to go into silence and I was trying to talk. So why don't we just do that? Amen. Okay, I'm going to let Jamie back in, and then we'll begin. Pardon me, she's way too dirty for me to let her in. So I'm just going to ask you to take another moment of silence while I clean her off. It won't take long. Come here, Jamie. Come here. Well, that's far from perfectly clean, but we don't have time for a bath. Oh, my goodness. That's far from perfectly clean. Come here. goodness. She it's a gorgeous day here, by the way. And it looks like Jamie decided to celebrate by going outside and just rolling in the dirt. And she's a mess, but she needs a bath, and I don't have time for that now. So I wiped her off somewhat. And if she just lays here beside me, we'll be okay. So as I mentioned last week, if there's anybody else here who is doing the seven steps, and you know, if you want to share from your journal on the step that I am on the quote that I am on, just put up your hand, that is invited. But other kinds of discussion I don't want to get into, just because I want to remain focused. My hands smell like a little bit of dog, but Jamie's dog smell is very, very light. She really doesn't have much of a smell. I think it's more the smell of the ground that she was rolling in. it's a nice outdoorsy smell. Okay. I was wiping her off with my hands. All right, what I'm going to do is read from the book first, starting with quote number 10, and then I'll go to the journal. So here's the quote. All other kinds of knowledge are base, trivial. The only true and perfect knowledge is the stillness of pure awareness. The many differences perceived in the self, whose nature is awareness, are wrong attributions and not real at all. Again, if you're looking at the journal, this isn't in the journal. This is in the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. It's quote number 10, and it's Ramana Maharshi. The quote again. All other kinds of knowledge are base, trivial. The only true and perfect knowledge is the stillness of pure awareness. The many differences perceived in the self, whose nature is awareness, are wrong attributions and not real at all. All right, so the journal. All thoughts and ideas are passing clouds and therefore trivial. There is no idea or thought that is right or true. Only awareness still is constant true. When other types of knowledge begin to arise as knowledge true, inquire into whose attention this idea arises. Focus on that which gives attention. What is that? Stay with this inquiry. Probably for me, the teaching of this quote and the teaching of this journal entry comes in most in everyday life. You know, there are things in our everyday life that we think we know. You know, like, for example, just a brief, silly example. Hey, Jay. Just a brief, silly example. Yesterday, you know, Jasmine is almost 15. She's 14, almost 15. And, you know, like all teenagers, she just sometimes can get mad at the silliest things, and then the mad is pretty big. And yesterday, Danielle and Jasmine and I were hanging a new wall hanging. And when I was hammering the nail, Jasmine was holding the wall hanging in place. And while I was hammering the nail, a clock that was above it fell on her. And we finished hanging the wall hanging, but then after we finished hanging the wall hanging, you know, Jasmine got very angry, and she went into the room and slammed the door, And she didn't come out for dinner. You know, she didn't come out for quite a while. She did end up coming out before the night was over. We did spend some time together. But, you know, she was in her room. By the time she came out last night, Danielle had already gone to bed. So Danielle never saw Jasmine last night. And this morning when I dropped Jasmine off to school, she asked me to tell Danielle that she said hi. Well, again, this is a very small example, but my mind immediately thought it knew that the reason Jasmine wanted me to tell Danielle hi, it was Jasmine's way of communicating, I'm no longer mad at you. And who knows, that might be true. But what I noticed was that my mind was just kind of looking at the story and filling in gaps. You know, it's saying, I know this. I know that the reason Jasmine said, tell Danielle hi, is because she wants to make sure Danielle knows she's no longer mad. And the reason a small example is a good example is because we just do this so much. We fill in these little gaps. We fill in these interpretations. And we think we know. We never even stop to realize that the mind is interpreting. The mind is making things up. In fact, we absolutely believe that you know, these little gaps that we're filling in, that these things are facts, what we fill them in with. And I decided not to tell Danielle. The thought had come up to tell Danielle, Jasmine said hi. She wants to make sure you know she's not mad anymore. I decided not to do that second part. I decided just to say, Jasmine says hi. And leave it at that, right? And again, it's a very, very small example, but we can see how in a different situation, the things that we think we know can even cause some kind of conflict or problem in our lives. But even more than that, it doesn't even matter if they don't cause a conflict or a problem. If I had said to Danielle, you know, Jasmine said hi, you know, she wants to make sure that you know she's not mad at you anymore. If I had said that, that probably never would have caused any kind of a major conflict in this house. You know, it would have been said and it would have gone on. But there's something else that happens there that it doesn't hurt for us to be aware of. When I attach to this knowledge in my mind as right, when I attach to, you know, I know this, I'm correct about this, what I'm really doing is still attaching to the idea of my false self. This is Regina we're talking about. Regina is the one who knows this. It's a little opportunity to reattach to the idea that this is what I am, Regina. And by choosing to notice that that's just something the mind threw in there, and then by choosing not to attach to that idea, there's some detaching that's happening instead of attaching. So again, the journal entry that I wrote is, all thoughts and ideas are passing clouds and therefore trivial. There is no idea or thought that is right or true. Only awareness still is constant true. When other types of knowledge begin to arise as knowledge true, inquire into whose attention this idea arises. Focus on that which gives attention. What is that? Stay with this inquiry. So you can see how the quote, and by the way, I notice people are entering the room, so I'm going to repost the link to the quote, or actually not the quote, to the journal entry. You can see how the journal entry is guiding us instead of just automatically attaching to this idea that's come into my mind as true, as an I know this, right? Instead of doing that, which then attaches to the idea that I am this person, instead of doing that, go into self-inquiry. Because self-inquiry steps away from the idea that I am this person. And again, the example I gave was such a tiny little thing. No telling how many times per day we are actually attaching to the person with tiny little non-emotional ideas that we're believing in our head. And that's one of the advantages I'm finding to the seven steps to awakening, is that it's really highlighting these things that might not have been noticed before. I'll read the journal entry one more time and then we'll go on to number 11. All thoughts and ideas are passing clouds and therefore trivial. There is no idea or thought that is right or true. Only awareness still is constant true. When other types of knowledge begin to arise as knowledge true, inquire into whose attention this idea arises. Focus on that which gives attention. What is that? Stay with this inquiry. All right, now as I mentioned, this is a new blog. So my old blog has like these little arrows that you can click on just to go to the next blog entry, but I don't see that. Also, only the recent posts are shown up at the side. I'm looking to see if there's an easier way for us to navigate. It looks like I don't find it yet. If anybody else sees an easy way to navigate, let me know. Otherwise, if you just scroll down after the screen goes from white to gray, on the right-hand side, you'll see a little search box. If you just type in 11 and then click search, it will take you to the journal entry for number 11. Oh, wait a second. Maybe I do know a better way. Is this going to work? Nope. Nope, not yet. We'll see if we... Oh, yes, I did. Okay, tell you what. Let me give you guys another link. If you are in the blog with me, if you've gotten to number 11 by searching, or even if you're still in number 10, let's do something different. If you scroll to the top and click on the actual number 11 or the number 10, it takes you into the quote again, it appears. It doesn't appear to have a big change to you, but after that, when you scroll down to the bottom, you can go forward to the next or backward to the previous. So that's going to work a little better. For those of you who are just confused by what I'm saying, here's another quote or another link. This link will take you into deeper into the quote where there's navigation possibilities. All right, and what I am going to do, Lisa, are you ahead of me? I haven't read today's lesson yet. You're ahead of me. That's not fair. You're supposed to sleep late so that I can always be ahead of you. I'll have to look at... Lisa's my partner for the daily workbook lessons. And I told her sometimes I look at them in the morning and sometimes I don't. Today, obviously, I haven't. I told her that I really am more focused on the seven steps than I am the course workbook lessons. But we do them together every day. It's a part of our ordination class with CMC. All right, so quote number 11. Right now I'm back to the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. Here we go. What sort of knowledge is this wretched bodily mental knowledge of objects? Would those who long for pure awareness hanker after this? To know pure awareness is true wisdom. All other knowledge is mere folly. Again, this is Ramana Maharshi we are reading. Number 11. What sort of knowledge is this wretched, bodily mental knowledge of objects. Would those who long for pure awareness hanker after this? To know pure awareness is true wisdom. All other knowledge is mere folly. All right, so now we're going to the journal entry, which I gave you a link for, journal entry number 11. Again, this is what I wrote after contemplating Ramana Maharshi's quote. If I give attention to a story or concept as true or meaningful, I must want to give attention to it. If there was no interest, attention would not go there, just as it does not go to many things in my field of perception. And so if my attention is going there, I must look carefully and question, do I want this? Do I want attention here? Is this what I would take as real, or do I prefer to know the truly real? Such questioning enables me to willfully and with recognized desire or wanting, gently refocus attention on the self-inquiry and self-attention that leads to knowledge of self. So, it's interesting in Ramana Maharshi's quote, he said, would those who long for pure awareness hanker after this? I always think of hanker as like a cowboy word. So now we've got a cowboy Ramana, you know, with his furs and his cowboy hat. He'd fit in perfectly here in Pueblo West. But that's a worthwhile question. You know, if there's something that is spinning in our head, if there's something that we are putting our attention on, the truth is we are putting our attention on it. And we wouldn't be doing that if we didn't want to. So, let's imagine, I don't have any guilt about not reading the course lesson in the morning, because I do feel that seven steps is my practice now. But let's imagine that I did have some guilt, right? And let's imagine that this kept coming into my mind, that, you know, I really should do it this way, you know, I should do the course workbook the way that it's written. That's what a good ordination student would do. That's what my partner Lisa would expect of me, you know, blah, 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 blah. If this story is going in my head, and I'm giving my attention to it, I'm believing it, I'm feeling the emotional, you know, guilt, the emotional concern of giving it this story, of giving it my attention, well, then what that means is I actually want to put my attention there. I mean, I may not recognize that I want to put my attention on a guilt story the same way I recognize that I, you know, want peanut butter and chocolate ice cream. But the truth is, I want to. We hear Ken Wapnick talk about this all the time. But that wanting, that is wanting to pay attention to whatever story is running in my mind now, is not my deepest or my true wanting. It's not the only wanting available to me. There is another wanting that is in me. And in fact, the other wanting is actually truer, and you could say it trumps this wanting. And so what I need to do is I need to acknowledge that I'm listening to this story because I want to give my attention to it. But then I ask, is this what I really want? Is it possible that I want something else more? Is it possible that I would rather focus on my heart? Or if I'm saying a mantra, focus on my mantra. Or if I am doing the course workbook, focus on my lesson. Is it possible that in some way I want to refocus my attention in a way that I feel guided to in the moment, that is more helpful to awakening than listening to the story? And this works very, very well for me, because my heart does know my truer wanting. It's not a question for me. There's no doubt about that. So if I start just asking, is this what I really want? The answer within me is simple, and I'm immediately able to switch my attention. Now, if it goes back to the story, I just practice the asking again, and it will go back to, I'll say, the heart, back to the true desire, back to focusing on God in whatever way I'm guided to focus on God right now. So again, journal entry number 11. If I give attention to a story or concept as true or meaningful, I must want to give attention to it. If there was no interest, attention would not go there, just as it does not go to many things in my field of perception. I'm going to pause there for a moment. There are lots of things in this room right now. In fact, I just turned around to see if I could see something that's in this room that's been here for a long time that maybe I haven't even seen in a year or longer. And I did, very quickly. It didn't take long at all. Over on Jasmine's desk, there's a pen with kind of a white fluffy ball on top of it, and right behind it there's one with a white orange ball on top of it. Now those two pens have probably been sitting there for 2 years. Jasmine doesn't even use her desk anymore. And I don't recall ever seeing them before. So you see, we easily don't pay attention to that which we, you know, have no care to pay attention to, that which really is absolutely meaningless to me, you know, to us. If it has no meaning, if we don't want it in our perception, I mean, it's right there. The eyes have seen the things next to it. I've seen the orchid. I even posted a picture of the orchid on Facebook a couple of months ago. That's right next to it. I've seen that little lamp there, you know, that's right next to it because I've turned the lamp on and off. But I haven't seen the pens with the little fluffy balls on top. So again, if something is in our perception, if we are noticing it, if we are thinking about it, it's because we want to give our attention to it. Anything that is meaningless to us can be right there, it can be present, and we won't even see it. We won't perceive it. So I'm going to start with journal entry number 11 again. If I give attention to a story or concept as true or meaningful, I must want to give attention to it. If there was no interest, attention would not go there, just as it does not go to many things in my field of perception. And so if my attention is going there, I must look carefully and question, do I want this? Do I want attention here? Is this what I would take as real? Or do I prefer to know the truly real? Such questioning enables me to willfully and with recognized desire or wanting to gently refocus attention on the self-inquiry and self-attention that leads to knowledge of self. All right, so now if you're in quote number 11 with me, if you scroll down, we have to scroll down a little bit, but if you scroll down, you'll see where you could post a comment, and then right underneath post comment, you'll see where it goes to quote number 10 on the right, and on the left, it goes to quote number 12. So just click on number 12, and that will take you there. And for those of you who aren't into the journal yet, and you'd like a link directly into 12, here is a link into the journal starting with quote number 12. All right, I'm going back to the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening, and I'm reading quote number 13. Again, this is Ramana Maharshi. How can any treatise thrust some wisdom into that human-seeming heap of clay which keenly watches things perceived and not at all the self-awareness? Again, Ramana Maharshi. How can any treatise thrust some wisdom into that human-seeming heap of clay which keenly watches things perceived and not at all the self-awareness? Oh, am I reading the wrong one? Thank you. I'm reading number 13. Well, then let's go back to 12. Thanks for pointing that out to me. Okay, here's 12 from the book. Yeah, that wasn't making any sense if you had the book, was it? Okay, here's 12. What if one knows the subtle secret of manifold, inscrutable mysteries? Until one knows the awareness which reveals all other knowledge, one does not. Does one know the truth? I'll read that again. What if one knows the subtle secret of manifold, inscrutable mysteries? Until one knows the awareness which reveals all other knowledge, does one know the truth? Okay, let's look at the journal entry. Number 12. There is a desire to figure things out, to know how the universe works, to know an exact formula that will lead to awakening, to know, to know, to know. I want to be one who knows. But what I seeks this knowing? What does I get from I know? If there is something, anything to gain, can that be constant, present truth? Can truth be gained? When I see a desire to know, I can surrender such urges immediately and return to the simple, seeking noticing of self, open and empty awareness, without any sense of I know. Well, again, this is perfectly human. Of course, perfectly human typically means perfectly ego. For most of us, they're synonymous. We like to know things. We want to, I think, A Course in Miracles, the exact form of A Course in Miracles comes into the Western world because the Western world wants to know, understand the ego, if possible, understand what God is, understand how I awaken. We want to understand all this stuff. There are so many metaphysical teachings to help us attempt to satisfy this desire to know. And I'm sure all of you at some point have felt very good about knowing something. Again, and it could be that you're the one who knows this metaphysical teaching, you have understanding of it. It could even be that you know a personal story about someone. You understand why someone is acting a certain way. You understand that. You have a knowing. It could be anything. The ego loves to know. It gets a sense of self out of knowing. The ego is not happy not knowing. It is not happy being left in the unknown, not understanding, because it has no sense of self there. So there is within us this desire to know. We want to know stuff. We want to understand stuff. We want to be in the know. But all of that is just ego maintenance desire. And that's why asking questions like, what I wants to know. If we are at all aware of the difference between our true self and the ego self, the answer to that question is very simple, because we know the true self. Well, the true self has no desires. It just is. So it has no desire to understand anything. So what I seeks knowing. And then what does I get from that feeling of I know? Again, it's that sense of self. Because there's an I there that knows, right? And if a sense of self can be gained, then is that the true self? Can the true self be built up through knowing and lost through not knowing? if we have an understanding of this, then when we see that desire in us to know, to understand, we may then find that what we really want to do is just drop the desire. We may find that we're actually more eager to stay in not understanding, not knowing, because we realize the desire to know, the desire to understand, is coming from the desire to create a stronger sense of false self. It's much better to stay in the not knowing with a trust that if there is something I need to know or understand, it will come at the appropriate time, and just but be very happy not understanding anything. We had some kind of a card drawing here. It was like over a year ago. You know, like angel cards or something like that. I don't remember what they were, but somebody brought some cards, one of the guests, and everybody drew a card. And the card that I drew said something about it was like, I think it was stated as like a future goal, or it was stated in a way like this was being achieved, but it wasn't yet fully achieved. Like I was in the process of this. But what I was in the process of was becoming a fool. It was the fool card. And at first, there was a sense of offense, like, what? I'm becoming a fool? And then this understanding dawned. Oh yeah, a fool. Then I saw fool totally differently. A fool, one that is just open and present for God, but doesn't have that sense of understanding everything, knowing everything, doesn't have that sense of self. And then I was very happy that I drew the fool's card. So again, number 12 says, there is a desire to figure things out, to know how the universe works, to know an exact formula that will lead to awakening, to know, to know, to know. I want to be one who knows. But what I seeks this knowing? What does I get from I know? If there is something, anything to gain, can that be constant, present truth? Can truth be gained? When I see a desire to know, I can surrender such urges immediately and return to the simple seeking noticing of self, open and empty awareness without any sense of I know. All right, let's scroll down. Underneath the place where a comment can be posted, and then on the left, you'll see number 13. Go ahead and click on that. And for those of you who need a link to the journal, here's a link directly to number 13. And I've already read quote number 13 twice, so I'll just read it once, and then we'll go directly to the journal. So back to the book. Gemini, make sure I'm reading the right quote. The seven steps to awakening. Number 13. How can any treatise thrust some wisdom into that human-seeming heap of clay, which keenly watches things perceived, and not at all the self, awareness? Okay, so this is what I wrote in the journal. Wisdom that comes from knowing thyself cannot be learned from books. Only inner seeking knows or realizes self. Inner seeking that knows or realizes self is wisdom. I can make sure books are used only as a catalyst for true seeking with wisdom guidance, for noticing and removing blocks, and opening to present grace. So one mistake that we don't want to make through our spiritual reading is the mistake of taking on new beliefs through some intellectual understanding of what we're reading. And then clinging to those beliefs just like we did other beliefs in the past, just kind of replacing one belief for another. Our ego mind thinks that that is some type of progress. But actually, if you think of a belief as a block to love's presence, then getting rid of one belief and taking on a new belief has left no space at all for becoming aware of self, you see? We just threw out an old brick and brought in a new shiny brick. So what we want to do, of course, whenever we're using any spiritual book, whether it's the Seven Steps or A Course in Miracles or NTI or the teachings of Inner Ramana or anything else, what we want to do is make sure that the book is merely a catalyst that prompts us into true inner seeking. You know, A Course in Miracles and NTI and the Seven Steps to Awakening, these three books are all great for helping us notice how we feed and maintain the ego so that we can make another choice. They're great for that. To take on a story that might be in A Course in Miracles or NTI as a belief, such as the story about the tiny mad idea, and then to get into a debate with someone else who has some other belief about how the universe came into being, that's just silliness. So we want to make sure that our focus is always on the practice, that our focus is always on the true seeking with wisdom guidance. And the book can help us to recognize our own inner wisdom guidance. My perception is these quotes that I am writing, which are all, these journal entries that I am writing, which are all very helpful to me, and they are helping me to find subtle ego maintenance techniques that I use that I was not yet aware of, because they have no emotional, no real emotional tie to them. The book is helping me to see these things and therefore to stop those ego maintenance practices. So the book is a catalyst to practice. But we all know there's another way to read the book, you know? There's a, for example, quote 13. I could read quote 13 and I could say, nobody can learn anything from a book, and then take that on as a belief rather than a practice, so that when I see somebody opening Seven Steps, I'm like, you know, you should really put the book down. Nobody can learn anything from a book. You know, it becomes this idiot mental belief that has no true wisdom behind it. But we all have that true wisdom guidance that shows us where there is benefit for us now, based on where we are now on this seeming path of awakening. And that's what we want to tune into, and that's what we want to pay attention to, whether it's telling us to put down books or whether it's telling us to pick up books. Right? Because that's where knowing self comes from, is the practice or the inner seeking, the inner realizing. So journal entry number 13. Wisdom that comes from knowing thyself cannot be learned from books. Only inner seeking knows or realizes self. Inner seeking that knows or realizes self is wisdom. I can make sure books are used only as a catalyst for true seeking with wisdom guidance, for noticing and removing blocks and opening to present grace. Number 13. All right, so now we want to scroll down and click on number 14. For anyone who needs a link, here it is. First, we will read quote number 14 in the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. What is worth seeking and discovering is the truth of self. Such knowledge comes only to the still, clear intellect, not muddled by strenuous search without, but questing for the truth in silence. What is worth seeking and discovering is the truth of self. Such knowledge comes only to the still, clear intellect, not muddled by strenuous search without, but questing for the truth in silence. I notice Debbie is asking, Deb is asking, does anyone ever feel like we're foolish for even joining here or anywhere? That we only need to go within and nothing else. My perception is that I hear Dove telling people that all the time, which I actually think is quite funny because he's the host of the room. It seems like even last night during my teaching, I perceived Dove telling people that coming to ACIM Gather was magic. He knows that the room can be used as a delay tactic, instead of as truly going within. He knows that. Of course, as you know, he encourages us to teach because he understands that for many of us, teaching is the same as going within. I know that's my experience. So he has the room available to teach, and of course, people do show up to listen. But he does point out that coming here and listening as if you're going to learn from someone else, as if you could get something from the concepts taught here, that is not really true practice. So there's the answer to your question, Deb. All right, let's look at the journal entry for number 14. What is worth seeking, discovering, realizing is the present truth of self. Such knowledge does not come from outward seeking, nor from preoccupation with the busyness of life. Quiet time and still, clear, open mind are needed. This is the purpose of this year as a year of silence. There will be opportunities for distraction in mind and form, but I can use heart desire for full realization to enact natural wisdom guidance, which will enlighten me to the present distraction and return attention gently to heart love desire for self-awareness now. All right, so as many of you know, my guidance for this year was to spend more time alone sitting in silence. And of course, using the seven steps. Those were my two primary guidances for this year. And one thing that I have to do is not allow myself to be as busy as I was in previous years. So, as you know, I'm not having the guests this year. We had like a constant flow of guests my first 2.5 years here. We're not doing that. There are a few guests that were already scheduled. I'm not canceling anyone. Maybe there will be a good reason for someone else to come, and if so, that will become apparent. But for the most part, this is not open house this year. And the reason it's not open house is I can't have that still alone time with a guest here. I'm not having the study with the scribes this year. I have reduced my ACM Gather teachings by one. There are a lot of other things that I'm just not doing. I'm not counseling. I'm not responding to everyone's email. I still read them all, but if there's not a necessary response coming up in me. I just do not respond. Used to, I'd always respond and at least say thank you, but now I'm not. I'm not going to go through the list of things that I've noticed that allow more quiet time, but the point is that there are things that are being cut out. There are other things that cannot be cut out. I still need to cook dinner. I still need to do laundry. I still feel guided to go to the Center for Inner Peace here in Pueblo. But I can't be preoccupied with the busyness of life. Right? I need to use my inner wisdom guidance that is coming from my heart to know what things to cut out and what things need to stay in. In addition, notice it says that knowledge does not come from outward seeking. This year, my guidance right now is to let go of listening to all other teachers. Some of you know that last year in particular, I listened to Muji. I also listened to a few others, but Muji was the primary teacher. This year, my guidance is to listen to no one but myself. And if you all want to leave the room now because you say, oh my God, that's true for me too, I don't want to listen to Regina, I promise I won't be offended. And I've heard other people, what's really funny to me is other people have also told me this is their guidance. You know, people who also were listening to Muji, for example, just as much as I was, are saying, I'm not even listening to Muji now. So this isn't just my personal guidance. There is a call that many of us are hearing to go completely within ourselves. And if we're using the book, The Seven Steps, The Seven Steps is only there as a catalyst to help us into ourselves. But we're clearing our plates and we're removing outer teachings so that we have the time to go within. Yeah. I see people agreeing. So number 14, what is worth seeking, discovering, realizing is the present truth of self. Such knowledge does not come from outward seeking, nor from preoccupation with the busyness of life. Quiet time and still clear open mind are needed. This is the purpose of this year as a year of silence. There will be opportunities for distraction in mind and form. But I can use heart desire for full realization to enact natural wisdom guidance, which will enlighten me to present distraction and return attention gently to heart love desire for self-awareness now. Some of you may be noticing a lot of hyphenated words in the journal. It seems that often what was wanting to be expressed, there wasn't a word. And so somehow I was using hyphenated words to try and create the expression. I mean, like I didn't feel done with what I was trying to say until two or three words were strung together. Then I would feel, okay, that says it. It was, you know, so there are a lot of hyphenated words in the journal this year. All right, let's scroll down and we're going to click on number 15. It looks like we definitely have time for one more. And here's a link for anybody who needs that. Number 15 in the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening, says, of fate and effort, which is stronger? Which will yield? Which will prevail? Those who wage this war of words are wholly ignorant of that from which the world and the ego both appear and into which they disappear. It's interesting because, as you know, Jay and I were just in India. And on the way to India, on the plane, they showed us a movie. And the movie was exactly about this. The movie was about which is stronger, fate, or you could call it karma. Karma or effort. And the moral of this movie, this movie was teaching you that you could get out of your karma through effort. You didn't need to accept your karma. So you may be born into, for example, a lower class, but with proper education, with proper effort, you could excel anyway, right? So this is something that really seems to be a part of the modern Indian mind, because karma has for so long been accepted. The question now are we really stuck with our karma, or can there be some effort? Can we do something to better ourselves? Of fate and effort, which is stronger? Which will yield? Which will prevail? Right? Sounds like it's something worth discussing. But Ramana says, those who wage this war of words are wholly ignorant of that from which the world and the ego both appear and into which they disappear. All right, let's go to the journal. We have 3 minutes. Here we go. Intellectual discussion of metaphysical principles is meaningless. It merely reinforces the identity I know, which covers and hides knowledge of self. Be willing to know nothing, to have an empty head, and to be an ignorant fool to those who are smart on theory. Be empty and ask only for true seeing. So again, that sense of I know is the same as the sense of self. It builds up that sense of false self. And, you know, you can see how you might fall into a trap. Like, it might be very tempting to get into a discussion of, you know, karma versus effort, you know, or a discussion of how is karma built. How are we released from karma? You know, all kinds of discussions. And you even feel spiritual while you're having them, maybe. But this whole sense of I know the answer, that's ego. Spiritual ego, maybe. But ego, it has a false sense of self. And if you start becoming aware of it, you feel it. So what we are being asked to do is be willing to know nothing. Be willing to let go of that sense of I know, which only builds up the false self, so that the false self can literally fade and die. Intellectual discussion of metaphysical principles is meaningless. It merely reinforces the identity I know, which covers and hides knowledge of self. Be willing to know nothing, to have an empty head, and to be an ignorant fool to those who are smart on theory. Be empty and ask only for true seeing. All right, that's it for me today. Thank you, everyone, for being present and allowing me the opportunity to read over my journal again. I'll see you. Actually, I won't be here on Friday, so I'll see you next Sunday night. I love you too, Jay. And you too, Lisa, and I'll talk to you later. Bye, everyone.